as we worship, as we come together, we need to look at the scripture that we have for today. And if you look in your Bibles, I invite you to turn to Hebrews chapter 1. We're going to read verses 1 through 4, and then we're going to read chapter 2, verses 5 through 12. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by a Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through him, through whom he also created the worlds. He is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's being. And he sustains all things by his powerful word. When he had made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited and is more excellent than heirs. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 5 through 12. Now, God did not subject the coming world about which we are speaking to angels, but someone has testified somewhere, "What are human beings that you are mindful of them, or mortals that you care for them? You have made them for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned them with glory and honor, subjecting all things under their feet. Now, in subjecting all things to them, God left nothing outside their control. As it is, we do not yet see everything in subjection to them. But we do see Jesus, who for a little while was made lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death. So that, by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. It was fitting that God, for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one Father. For this reason, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. This is the word of God for the people of God. Dear Heavenly Father, precious God, let the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. Oh, you know, it is so wonderful to be in this house, God's house, 3 days in a row with wonderful song, with wonderful music, with the power of the Holy Spirit speaking through people and us listening to it and hearing it. And one would hope that it's changing our lives and making an impression on us. For you know what it's all about is the glory of God. The glory of God revealed in Christ. The Word of God. So that we might draw near to Him. That we might see Him more clearly. That we might follow Him more clearly. That we might come to a point where we realize that there is no other name under heaven that we can count on, that we can rely on, that we can cling to, and it's by Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior. He is the Savior of all. In this Hebrews, and as you read the newsletter, we don't really know who wrote Hebrews definitively. There are a couple of things that allude to it being Paul. There are a number of things throughout history that have said that Paul wrote it, or someone, maybe Luke, maybe Timothy, maybe Barnabas, had taken and gleaned some of the teachings and sayings of Paul and wrote them down. And in the very last part of Hebrews, it really, he closes the letter to Hebrews much like a letter that's coming from Paul, because he talks about some of the people that he's raised up that have followed him. But you know, it really doesn't matter who wrote it. We know who inspired it. We know why it was written. It was written so that people would hear and read and tell and live, knowing that Christ Jesus has been glorified by God himself, that Jesus has been sent to do things that God had set for him alone to do. This first chapter, the first four verses, long ago God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. But in these last days, he's spoken to us by a son. We are in the last days. I'm telling you, we are in the last days. When they're going to end, that is up to God the Father alone. Not even Jesus the Son knows the day that it will end. But we know we are in the end days. Why? Because Jesus says we are. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by a son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also created the worlds. Verse 3, he is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being. When we think of that, when we look at that word reflect, it's kind of like, how many of you saw the eclipse of the moon, the lunar eclipse? And how many of you saw the moon the day after that? I mean, boy, was that gorgeous. I mean, they talk about it being a super moon. It was beautiful. Is there any light in the moon? How does the moon shine bright? It's reflected light. We know that when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, when Peter and James and John were there with him, and Jesus is transfigured, they talk to us about him being transfigured in this light that is overwhelming. So much so that Peter, normally a person who has plenty of words, he was at loss for words. He said, Lord, let me build a tabernacle for you and Elijah and Moses, and we'll stay up here. I mean, the glory was so wonderful, was so beautiful, they wanted to stay there. Jesus is not just the reflected, he's not just a moon that reflects the sun light. Jesus is the sun who is, and the Greek word is effulgence, or it translates to effulgence, which is better than reflection, because a reflection, it's not the right light itself. It's being something, a reflection of the light. But effulgence, E-F-F-U-L-G-E-N-C-E, it's the radiance shining forth. So it's not just a reflection. You know, a mirror reflects, but there's no light in the mirror. Jesus is the light of God shining out through him. He's the Word of God made flesh. He is the Word of God made flesh to come and dwell with us, to live with us, to be fully human, so that when he sacrifices himself on the cross, that night in the upper room when he's there with his disciples and he breaks the bread, he says, this is my body which is given for you. When he takes the wine and gives that to them, he says, this is my blood poured out and shed for you. Jesus is not a reflection of the glory of God in the way that we understand, but he is the glory of God shining through him. Where? Everywhere. And he sustains all things by his powerful word. When he made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. He tells us of Christ's preeminence. When we look at the true peace, he's not the reflection of God's glory. He's the radiance of God's glory shining forth out of him. Hebrews chapter 2. God didn't reject the coming word about which we speak to angels, but someone has testified somewhere, what are human beings that you are mindful of them, or mortals that you care for them? You have made them a little while lower than the angels. You crowned them with glory and honor, subjecting all things under their feet. Now, the there that's that is an Old Testament. He's talking about Jesus. As it is, we do not see everything in subjection to them, but we do see Jesus. And what is Jesus? The light and glory of God shining through into this world, into your life, into my life. Gary said last night, there are no grandchildren when it comes to God. God doesn't have any grandchildren. He's got a lot of great children, and maybe they're grand in that respect, but they're not in the grandchildren or great grandchildren as we deem things. We come to God the Father through Jesus the Son by the Holy Spirit individually. Our parents can't bring us to salvation. They can lead us up to it. Boy, I'll tell you, some of those prayers, you'd almost think it got us to salvation. But we have to come to accepting Christ Jesus in our lives as Lord and Savior. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 10. We confess with our lips. Grandma already did. Mom already did. It's for me to do it. It's for you to do it. Who do you want saved? Your grandma's already saved. Mine is. Your mama's already saved. Mine is. Who's that leave? You. But we do see Jesus, who for a little while was made lower than angels, now crowned with glory and honor. I'm in verse 9, chapter 2, verse 9. Now crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of his death, comma, so that. These two words that, you know, I find, you know, there's a purpose. There's a reason why God does things. I may not know it. I may not understand it. I may be able to figure it out. But I'll tell you what, regardless of whether I can understand it or not, there's a so that. God does things so that. God reveals himself so that we'll understand. The only way we're going to ever be able to understand God is if he reveals himself to us. And that's why the Holy Spirit's there. So that when it's been revealed to us, we don't understand. He's left as a counselor and a comforter. He's someone there who can help us understand. And we may have to sit and absorb the Holy Spirit through the Word of God, through Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. We have to read into our Scriptures. We have to pour ourselves into the Scriptures and see the Holy Spirit come out of there. By the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. The wages of sin is death, and Christ Jesus paid that debt for you 2,000 years plus ago on a mountain outside of Jerusalem on a cross. But the story, his story, doesn't end there. Because we know there's a 3-day later. We know there's an empty tomb. We know there's a resurrection. We know there's an ascension. And we know, as the scripture, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we know he's coming back in all his glory. Not the reflection of a sunlight, not the reflection of a supernova, but the reflection, this effulgence, this radiance shining forth of God the Creator, who in Genesis, he speaks into the void. What is a void? There ain't anything there. There is nothing there. He speaks into the void and he creates the heavens and earth. He creates all of the created order and he creates you and me. First First part is God is, Jesus is God's glory reflected, or the effulgence, the radiance shining forth. That second is there was a purpose. Christ Jesus did that so that we might be saved. The third part is something that you and I need to do. It's something that we need to respond to. Gary last night said that God's love is unconditional. Absolutely. We'll find that throughout the scriptures. God's love is unconditional. But there's a piece to that. God loves us absolutely. But God's blessing is conditional. We read 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and heal their land. Verse 12. I'm going to read from verse 11. For the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one Father. For this reason, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. So there's an activity that you need to meet. There's that conditional blessing. Unconditional love, but a conditional blessing. If Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, you don't dim God's glory. You can't. His glory shines through. It's that radiance shining through, not reflected. But you know what? Just as Moses, when he came down off the mount, his face was shining. Not from his own radiance, but a reflection of the radiance of God. That glory, that transfiguration that Jesus saw, that Jesus demonstrated or reflected on the Mount of Transfiguration. That's the glory of God. You can have that too. People can see the glory of God in you. But you have to let him in. Confess with your lips. Believe in your heart. Jesus is Lord. And the glory will be shining out of you. The glory of God. The glory of Christ. The glory of the Holy Spirit. Let it not be dimmed. Let it be fanned like a flame. Let it revive your hearts. Let it revive your spirit. Let it revive the energy and enthusiasm in your lives so that it cannot, will not ever be quenched in you. For I tell you, Christ's glory will never be quenched. But the choice is whether it's going to be in you. Whether that radiance is shining out of you. Choose Christ. Choose Christ. Amen. I invite you to stand as you're able. I ask you to open your hymnals, 618.